This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And there's so much great stuff this hour. We're going to deal with disorderly neighbors, buying a new car, calling your senators and reps, and so much more this hour. Let us begin, because we only have an hour left. And I'm bummed about that because I'm having a blast. Jesse, first of all, I love your show. Found it about 6 months ago. Hope your family and friends know and appreciate how lucky they are to have you in their lives. I hope they appreciate it too. What, Chris? I hope they do. Anyway, now for my problem. I always hear you and your others say call your senators and reps about an issue. I live in Oregon. All my elected officials are Democrats, so I don't feel like it would do any good for me to do so. I want to call about Trump's picks for its cabinet, but she lists all her reps. Should I make the calls anyway? What are your thoughts on this? I'm a 64-year-old woman who, like you, is a former Ohioan. Oregon politics sucks, and her name is Lisa. Okay, so if you live in a blue area, let's just say you're in a blue area in a blue state. You're where Lisa is in Oregon. You're in New York, New York, right? So your town's blue, your county's blue, your state's blue. What do you do? That doesn't mean you're hopeless or helpless, because so much now can be done online and through the phone. You can get out the vote in swing states from Oregon, from New York City, from LA, from your blue area. You could do things like that. As far as calling your reps and senators, emailing your reps and senators, yours aren't going to do you any good. Call and email the ones that matter, meaning the weenies in the swing states that are pretty flimsy. Obviously, Lindsey Graham's middle name is probably flimsy. Flimsy Lindsey. Chris, that's good. Anyway, Lindsey Graham, Joni Ernst. These are the losers who we have to worry about now. And remember, the next group, they already shot down Matt Gaetz. They're trying to torpedo Pete Hegseth. I love watching Trump and Vance come out strong now publicly for Hegseth. That's good. I think they smartly realize if you give the GOP Senate another scalp, you're finished. You might as well just hand Mitch McConnell all the cabinet choices and tell him to make them. So you can't give him another one. But let's say, because this is likely, let's say Joni Ernst is the one right now who's the sacrificial lamb of the deep state GOP. They do that. You realize that. They do that. They'll pick a guy. Mitch McConnell's famous for this. Remember after the Uvalde school shooting when Mitch McConnell decided he wanted to work with Democrats on gun control? He went to John Cornyn and said, "You take the lead." John Cornyn was the scapegoat then. And of course, that loser John Cornyn did work with the Democrats, did get gun control passed. But he wasn't done there. There's always a new unpopular thing. They pick new and different scapegoats every time. They also wanted amnesty done last year. Remember that? They wanted amnesty. And what did they do? They didn't go to Cornyn again. That time, they went to Lankford. And Low T. Lankford, Nakin Ken Doll Lankford, is always game to be used by some man in one way or another. So they went to Ken Lankford, and they said, "Hey, Ken, how about an amnesty bill?" "Well, okay, that sounds really good, guys. Will you invite me to the parties?" And of course, Ken Lankford gave Democrats cover on a critical issue in an election year by offering amnesty. But the next time they needed something, they didn't go back to Lankford. They always use different ones. Right now, Joni Ernst, she doesn't get any mercy, is allowing herself to be used as the torpedo Hegseth scapegoat. Lindsey Graham, you should know, is working behind the scenes to torpedo Pete Hegseth. Joni Ernst has made herself the public face of destroying Pete Hegseth.
Sounds to me as if the hearing will be critical for his nomination. Am I right about that?
I think
I think you are right. I think for a number of our senators, they want to make sure that any allegations have been cleared. And that's why we have to have a very thorough vetting process. And that's why I was happy to sit down with Pete and have that conversation with him yesterday. So again, all I will say at this time is that we did have a very thorough discussion over a number of those issues and the vetting.
And right now, everyone's pouring molten hot lava of anger onto Joni Ernst. The deep state GOP, they know when they're taking a position on an issue that is going to create rage in you. What they try to do is they try to spread that hate around so it doesn't always fall on one person and cost them an election. You watch. You just wait and see. Chris, I'm not even going to tell you to write this down, although you could. You watch. The next 10 times the deep state GOP needs a face, a scapegoat, if you will, it won't be Joni Ernst. She's the one who got the nod this time. Hey, Joni, go out there and make a bunch of GOP enemies this time. We have to stop Hegseth. You will be mad at her, but it is human nature. This is not on you. You will forget, or at least your anger will dissipate. It doesn't last forever. The next month or 2 months from now, there'll be a new controversy, a new outrage, and you'll have forgotten how mad you were at Joni Ernst. And they'll have Joni Ernst, because now she's catching the negative heat. They'll roll her out there to do positive things. She's already publicly talking about how much she's looking forward to working with Elon Musk and Vivek on the Department of Government Efficiency. She's all over social media talking about that. They'll make her the face of that. Look at Joni Ernst. What a conservative warrior. Cutting government spending. Doing everything they can do to lift her reputation back up to ensure she won't lose her primary in 2026. This is how they do politics. This is how that stuff works. So if they are successful with Hegseth, and honestly, even if they're not, there will be a new deep state GOP face trying to take out Cash Patel. And then a new deep state GOP face trying to take out Tulsi Gabbard. And then a new deep state GOP face trying to take out RFK. Spreading the anger around. But it's all the same players behind the scenes. It's all the Mitch McConnell establishment GOP types. It's Mike Rounds. It's John Thune. It's John Cornyn. It's all those guys. Every one of them. Wicker, the rest of them. Iceman, I'm buying a new truck sometime in the next couple months. I know what I want. I'm willing to wait. I honestly do have impeccable credit. I'm able to pay cash, but I'm willing to finance if I can swing a good deal off the sticker price. From a salesman perspective, is there a preference on a customer stroking a check for the whole price over financing? Am I apt to get a better deal one way or another? Okay. So let's talk about this. This is RV salesman Jesse. You can get a better deal on anything when it comes to these large things if you finance it. There is an old school way of thinking where people think, I want the best deal. I'm going to pay cash. So let me explain how it works. If I have an RV, a car dealership, we'll call it a car dealership, I will have a relationship with financial institutions. We'll make it Bank of America. That's just for the story's purposes. Bank of America wants me to send them your business. They want to give you your car loan. Bank of America, if I'm going to send them your $30,000 car loan, they will pay me to send them your $30,000 car loan. That means I make money if you finance it. The more I make on it, the more I can give you a discount on it. There's actually not an insane amount of markup in cars, believe it or not. There's more so in RVs than in cars. But if you finance it with me, then I can make money from the financing instead of making all the money on the car. But there's an older way of thinking, because that's how it used to be. I want the best price. I'm paying cash. We used to have people say that all the time. And I would have to explain. It was always an older guy who came from a different era. And I would have to explain, listen, this is a new era. You don't get the best deal paying cash. The best deal you can get is if you have good credit and you finance it. Then what happens is lots of times people will pay it off right away, which really ends up screwing the salesman because you have to finance it, at least when I was in RVs, for at least a year before you paid it off, or the bank will take that pay that they took, that they paid you, they'll take that back. You understand? If you have great credit, the better deal comes through financing. That's a fact. All right? All right. We have so much more. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's do a voicemail or two, shall we?
Sir Isaac Kelly, is it proper radio etiquette to be reloading ammunition while listening to your show? Please let the bar eat.
It's not only proper etiquette, it's preferred. I prefer that you be loading ammo while you listen to the show. That's exactly how I want you. All right, Jesse. Oh, one last word on the financing thing. Chris was talking during the break about how he financed a car and that the salesman asked him, don't pay it off for 2 years. There are different payoff penalty times depending on the financial institution. Sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 2 years. Unless you want to screw your salesman over, maybe you dislike him for some reason or something like that, if your salesman asks that, do that for him. Remember, I know salesmen have a bad reputation, but being in sales is a wonderful gig. You provide people with hopefully good products. You make a living doing it. It's not a charity. That guy pays his bills, feeds his family on that. So I'll tell you, it used to happen to us all the time. We'd sell RVs. Again, if you finance it, you get a better deal because I get paid from the financial institution. Therefore, you got that. But we'd ask people the same thing. I would ask people, if you don't mind, wait a year before paying it off. Most people would, but some would not. They'd get the better deal and they leave and they pay it off right away. And you all of a sudden get a notification, hey, by the way, your next, pick your number, your next $1,000, your next $1,500, you don't get that. It's all been taken back away from you. It hurts, man. I'll tell you, it hurts. So just keep that in mind. If they ask you not to pay it off, it's not just them saying that. If you pay that off, I know you may never see that guy again, but maybe you hate him and you want to screw him over. I get that. It's your business. If he asks you not to pay it off and you pay it off, you heard him for sure. You did. Ice Cube Jesse. I live in a suburban neighborhood and my liberal neighbor keeps his garbage cans in his front yard, creating an eyesore for everyone to see. He actually sent me a picture of it. Wow, that is a freaking eyesore. There's four of them. Jeez. Anyway, he said he has a gate nearby and tons of space behind the gate for his garbage cans. I befriended them several years ago, and I'm not sure how to approach this. Please advise. He said, thanks. His name is Dave, and he said, you can use my name because there's no way these liberals will ever hear your show. Okay, Dave. As you know, I recently ran into a similar struggle with my neighbor who doesn't mow his lawn. He's the only one in the neighborhood, and I'm not green thumb lawn guy. I'm not, but look, when it's a foot, Chris, I'm not making that up, a foot. When it's a foot deep, brother, everyone's looking at you, and it looks bad. And of course, he's the guy right next to me. So there's my lawn, which is mowed, and then there's the triple canopy jungle that you run into next door. You made a lot of great suggestions. My plan was just to go tell him. A lot of people said, mow his lawn for him one time. He'll be so embarrassed. It'll never happen again. It's a little bit more difficult with the trash can. The problem with this is, it's like, let's say your wife has bad breath or your husband has bad breath. You can tell them. It's a matter of how and when you tell them. You see, if it's just you and her, you and him, you're sitting down, you're munching on some Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies, then you can say, hey, honey, by the way, you got dragon breath tonight. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you're a little sick, but your breath is pretty bad. That may wound him a little or her a little, but it's fine. That's different than when you're out, it's couples dinner night, and there's 10 people at the table, and you recoil back when she says something to you and says, oh my gosh, did you have a poop sandwich for dinner? That is going to get you in an entirely different kind of a conversation. With your neighbor, you said you befriended him. Maybe you run into him, air fingers quote, run into him when you're getting the mail, getting your trash. Don't do it in front of other people. Get him alone and say, hey, would you mind? Or even put it on your neighbor friends if you don't want to be rude. Hey, a lot of the people were complaining to me about your trash cans. I don't necessarily think it's a big deal, but if you could put the trash cans back, it would be better. Just make sure he's alone. There's a great line. HBO did an incredible series on John Adams, and I'm pretty sure it's called John Adams. It's called John Adams. Highly recommend it, and I think it's safe for the kiddos. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's safe for kids. It's great, very historically accurate. And there's a scene where John Adams, this was his way, he was blasting away at someone in public, and Benjamin Franklin takes him out to dinner, takes him out to lunch, and Adams says to him, because Franklin was dressing him down about it, and Adams says, oh, so I should have just insulted him in private? And Benjamin Franklin says, yes, perfectly acceptable to insult a man in private. In fact, he may one day thank you for it, but you insult a man in public, he tends to remember it. You can tell him privately, all right? All right, there's a family divided over Donald Trump. Somebody wants to talk about nose rings and turkey burgers. First, let's talk about relief factor. Forget about that. Let's just talk about being in pain. You ever have your back hurt? I went through a period of time in my life where my back hurt every single day. I grew too fast, and it was always out. My body would be, my upper body would be canted to the left. Like if you looked at me shirtless, which you'd be so lucky, my body was canted to the left, like one hip stuck out more. It was bad. It was really, really bad. Always in pain. So I know what daily pain is like. And I'm here to tell you Relief Factor can take it away from you. It can. And I am not asking you to take my word for it. I'm asking you to try it. $19.95. That's it. That gets you 3 weeks of it. It's 100% drug-free. It's natural. It supports your body's natural response to pain. It can make that pain disappear or at least fade a lot. Don't live with the pain. Whatever it is in your life, $19.95 could have you pain-free. Come on, that's worth a shot. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, or leave us a voicemail. 877-377-4373. You're not a Janis Joplin fan, Chris? Like, she was kind of a one-hit wonder, if we're being... It's that Me and Bobby McGee song, and... Did you just say who? That's the name of the song, you idiot. I don't know who Bobby is. We never met. It's the name of the song. It's a good song. Janis Joplin has an incredible benefit. And I'm about to tell you something awesome that happened to me in a moment. I'm just so excited right now. But Janis Joplin has an incredible benefit. Her first name and her last name start with the same letter. And that always sounds cool. Always. 100% of the time, it sounds cool. And I don't know why that is, but there's an actress. I don't even know what she looks like, but I heard her name and I was like, that sounds freaking awesome. January Jones. Doesn't that just sound like a cool name? It's a freaking cool name. Chris Copeland. There's just something about it. Howard Hughes. It sounds cool when your first name and last name start with the same letter. Everyone knows this is true. I can see you nodding your head right now in the car. I know you don't. Corey, am I wrong? Am I wrong? Of course. It's 100% correct. That's one. Two, something awesome just happened to me during the break. I've got to share it with you, and then we'll get back to the regular, our regularly scheduled programming. I got a text from Aub during the break. She was cleaning out the pantry, going through food stuff and whatnot. She's like this huge nerd. This does all this stuff around the house. She found mouse poop. Not just one little turd either. More than one. We have mice. You have no idea how great I am at hunting down and killing mice. What, Chris? What? This is my calling. No, I don't need to call a professional, Chris. I am the professional. Okay, you don't seem to understand. When I was a child in Ohio, hunting down animals, trapping them, shooting them was my specialty. We had this windowsill. In Ohio, they have basements. It surprises me. In Texas, basements are not a thing. In Ohio, basements were the norm. Everyone had a basement. And our basement had a little window out the top. Now, if you were outside on the ground, you would obviously have to look down into the window. And there was this carved out window sill that was a hole. And my mom used to light me up like a Christmas tree because she would come out and I will have filled that window sill hole full of animals, turtles and things like that. I got a squirrel trap from my old man. And I learned how to catch squirrels, and I used to love to catch squirrels, and I'd keep them as pets when I wasn't shooting them. I would keep them as pets, and I even had a little squirrel thing, and I would catch the squirrels all the time, and I'd have squirrels in a squirrel cage. I'd go catch turtles, you name it. Granted, I got bit a lot. I got bit. I tried to attack an in-the-ground hornet's nest. That's where hornets... Well, Chris, you don't understand. There were hornets... And I was eyeballing the hole in the ground where they were coming out of. And so I didn't just charge in. I had a plan. I was looking at the hole, and I went stick hunting, and I found what I thought was going to be a really, really solid stick. I thought I'd eyeballed it. I thought we had the right size going here. And I waited. I sat and waited like a sniper. I remember it like it was yesterday. I'm on my belly like I'm a sniper in Vietnam, and I'm waiting until most of the hornets have cleared out. And my plan is I'm going to charge in, jam the stick into the hole, trapping all the hornets underground, and then I'll turn. If any of them happen to get loose, I will be too fast, and I'll run away. Now, I wasn't very fast, per se, but surely I could outrun a hornet. How fast could they go? So I charge in, jam the stick in there, and I take off scot-free, completely scot-free. And I get 100 yards away and, oh, turns out they caught me. They did catch me. And you know where the first one got me? In the ribs. He got under my T-shirt and jammed me right in the ribs. Gosh, that freaking hurt so bad. Either way, I thought it was a good effort. Back to the animal thing. Have you ever seen Spider-Man? The bad guy, Kraven the Hunter? I want you to think about me like that, or Jeremiah Johnson, maybe some sort of a mountain man type when it comes to the apprehension of animals. This is what I do. I have eradicated more mice and rats from houses, barns. My Grandpa Hank on my dad's side, he was a farmer. He used to just send me out to his barn where he kept the horses, and my job was just to find and kill the mice and the rats. I was born and bred for this. Aub thought I was going to be upset. I just texted her back a little picture that said, this is my time. Or no, I said, my time has come. I'm unreasonably excited to get home tonight because our house is going to be mice-free very, very quickly. What, Chris? Do I use rat shot inside? Chris, I don't know if I can... I don't know if it would be right to give away all the trade secrets right here to you. There are a lot of things. Listen. There are a lot of things you just need to come by through experience. I will say, just putting it out there right now, I will say location is really, really important. You know, just chuck a mousetrap down in the middle of everything. Location is important. It's important. It's very, very important. Just like Genghis Khan would split his forces when he was attacking. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. Like Genghis Khan would split his forces when he was attacking an empire. It's important to have a multi-pronged attack. I have before. I've gone with the traditional mousetraps, the ones that whap. But that's probably going to be a problem because if the wife is asleep and she hears a snap, and if that mouse starts to squeal and make noise, she's not going to be okay. So you're going to have a mixture of snap traps, of glue traps. I am going to have to go home. The worst part is the fact that I'm going to have to analyze poop as if I'm one of the eunuchs in an old Chinese emperor's palace. You know, they used to take their poop and they would analyze it to make sure they were getting enough nutrition. You have to analyze the poop to figure out what kind of size we're talking about here. It's one thing if they're mice. It's another thing if they're rats. And if they're rats who have been eaten well, they're just going to laugh at your traditional mousetrap. That's not going to cut the mustard, but she thought I was going to be upset. I've never been more excited. And now, remember we were talking earlier in the show about the professional baseball players and their sons who end up being professional baseball players because they learn so much from their father? My sons don't know what a treat they're in for when I get home tonight. It's going to be, boys, gather round. Allow the professional, the animal hunter, the animal trapper, not hunter, the animal trapper. Trapper Jesse is here to educate you boys on clearing an infestation out of your home. Gosh, oh, Chris, I'm going to be in the attic. I can't wait. I'm going to be up in the... What, Chris, what? Am I going to make a hat? Yes, yes. I'm going to keep every single mouse I kill, and I'm going to take them down to some kind of taxidermist around here, and I'm probably going to get some weird looks. But I'm going to hand him an entire box of rats or mice, and I'm going to tell him that I want some kind of disinfected piece of clothing. I don't know that there'll be enough for a hat. If there's enough for a hat, we have a very serious problem. But you never know. I might. You know what I might do? After the first one, I might put him on a spike. That's what I might do as a message, like Vlad the Impaler. As a message, if I catch one in the attic, because Ob is probably not going to be okay with the mouse being on a spike in the kitchen or something like that. But if I catch one in the attic, I'm not going to tell her. I'm going to get a nail and I'm going to drive it through like a little board. And I'm going to stick that mouse right on top of that spike as a message to the others. And you watch. It's going to clear out. Yeah, it's a good point, Chris. It's good that it's not summer because I could see that. I could see a smell developing there, but it's not summer. It's cold out here. I'm coming, mice. Enjoy yourself now. Have your fun now. No. Eat the food. I want you to enjoy yourself. Consider it your last meal. Trapper Jesse's coming. Now, one thing we can be reasonably sure of is that Fred will not help at all. He is pretty good when it comes to human beings. Finding anyone who's outside and making a big old racket and maybe trying to bite their head off. He has proven to be shockingly inadequate when it comes to smaller animals. I've seen rabbits cross right behind him. He'll be laying down outside. I mean 2 feet behind him, and he doesn't know they're there, and I have to yell. And seriously, Fred? Either way, Fred's not going to help with any of this, but I don't need Fred. We just need him to stay alive and keep being fluffy. And that's why we give Fred Rough Greens, because his coat looks better than it ever has. Rough Greens fixed his digestive problems he was having after every meal. Sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food and your dog will be healthier. You'll go to the vet less. Rough Greens doesn't cost you money. It saves you money because you don't go to the vet as much and your dog will live longer. Get a free Jumpstart trial bag at 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before we sail off into the sunset. Until Monday, I guess I'm not sailing anywhere. I'm just going to be home doing chores, catching mice, you know, things that Trapper Jesse does. Either way, I hope you are planning on enjoying your weekend. We don't have a ton of time left together. I can't stop laughing about Joe Biden being fake excited about the Christmas lighting.
3, 2, 1.
These people are so freaking fake. Hey, Jesse, I have 4 adult siblings. I'm the only Trump supporter. My sibs are all Trump haters. About a year ago, we agreed informally that texts would not include politics. None of us really followed it. As I became outspoken about Biden, corruption, and illegals, my siblings stopped responding. It appears they set up a separate group text for them only. I feel they've censored me, and now everyone is acting like nothing ever happened, Jesse. I know they are my siblings, but I feel ostracized and extremely disrespected. I don't really want anything to do with them. What say you? I will say this. If your siblings are mistreating you because of politics, that's their problem. However, I would not be cutting off my siblings unless you knew for a fact they were mistreating you because of politics. I tell my sons now, if they ever try to tattle on each other or something like that, which we don't allow in our house, but if they do it, you know how boys are. Well, everyone is when you have siblings. I tell them point blank, your brother is going to be with you for your life. I'm old. I'm going to die. I'll be long gone, and your brother will still be alive. Who do you think your loyalty should lie more with, me or your brother? You don't ever narc out your brother, ever. My sister and I, we are very close. And it's been a great aid since my dad passed, and we're trying to get everything figured out with my mom and what to do with this and how to figure out this and that. It's obviously really hard because dad's gone, but I can't imagine how hard it would be if my sister and I hated each other or didn't talk. We talk all the time. Every few days we talk. They're your siblings. Unless they're purposely mistreating you still, try to maintain as much of a relationship as you can. If, however, if that's too much for them because you're a Trump supporter, then your siblings have left you. You didn't leave them. Then wash your hands of them and walk away. And if that bums you out, you should know you can get incredible deals at GovX, especially now. If you are a current or former military, current or former first responder, current or former educator, or have one in your family, remember this, family members get this too. You get a free membership. Every single person should have a free membership. And this is not a gimmick. The membership is free. GovX has endless things. What? Knives, optics, cruise tickets. You want to take someone to a concert? You want a new cooler, boots, a knee sleeve? Huge discounts on over 1,000 websites through GovX, and the membership is free if you qualify. Use the promo code Jesse, because that's going to get you $15 off your first purchase, so don't screw yourself out of $15. GovX.com, promo code Jesse. Then you text or email all your mean siblings and tell them how much money you saved, and don't tell them where you saved it. Dear Dr. Food, the subject of this one is bull nose ring. Nothing screams, I don't care about a promotion, like a bull nose ring. I'm especially grossed out by restaurant employees who wear one. I envision snot accumulating at the base of the ring and then, I'm not going to go into this. Do I agree, or is this secondary to the menu? Okay. Now, in my house, this was handled in a very, very direct manner. I grew up, I was a kid in the 80s. I was born in 81. And that was the time when all the rock stars started to have earrings. Guns N' Roses and all these bands started to have earrings. And those were famous people back then. Oh, look, he's got an earring. And I'm sure at some point in time, I expressed fascination with having an earring. And my father told me in no uncertain terms, and he was not kidding, that if I ever walked home with an earring, he would tear it out of my head immediately. Not take it out,
tear it out of my earlobe. And he was 100% serious. You were not allowed to have long hair, long fingernails, and you weren't allowed to have earrings, like, in the words of my dad, like a friggin' woman. So that's how I was raised. And I should note that those same rules apply in my house. No long hair. Don't you dare have long fingernails. There's not going to be any earrings. As I've gotten older, I am more understanding and merciful of different people who are just different. People get crazy tattoos on their neck. People pierce all kinds of things. But to your point, I will say this. I actually don't judge you if you have all that stuff. But if you do get things, tattoos or piercings, neck or above, not talking about the tattoo you have on your arm or your chest, neck or above, if you get those things, it is your freedom to do so. Maybe that's who you are. But you absolutely, positively are limiting your employment opportunities in life. You are. No ifs, ands, or buts. You are limiting your employment opportunities in life. When we were, you know, we found Corey just because we couldn't find anyone else. But when we were looking for a new producer after Michael left, and we interviewed a bunch of different people. If I had had an interview with somebody with a big bull nose ring, that probably would have been a no for me. Chris, am I all wet in that? What? Chris said, what if she was hot? Chris, we don't hire women. All right, period. Anyway, that's, just know that. I'm really not judging, and I really don't look down on people who have the bull nose ring. I'll tell you, on chicks, when they do the kind of, not the bull one, but the side one in the nostril, I think it can be kind of hot. Chris, it can be kind of hot. Look, you don't want to have a bunch of holes in your freaking face, but it can be kind of hot, but just be careful. That's more for the kids than anyone else. Kids, I get it. You're young. You want to get crazy. I understand all that. I've been young, done a lot of dumb things myself. Anything neck or above is limiting your opportunities. It's your freedom to do that. It's your life. It's your body. Keep that in mind. Sir, what are your thoughts on replacing hamburger with ground turkey for the world famous Jesse Kelly burger? Don't ever email my show again. I don't ever want to hear from you again. Chris, you need to find who emailed this in and block his email address. I don't care how. I don't care if it's a saint. I don't care if it's the Pope. You ever make my burgers with ground turkey. And if you do, don't put my name on that. That's not my burger. Now put your phone down and go enjoy your family for the weekend. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.